Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Happy Monday, Tone. How was your weekend?
Tony Kornheiser. Better than the Bears was, wouldn't you say? Really?
Yeah, well.
Better than the Bears.
You know, and better than the Cubs was, too. I think we've lost 6 of 8 or 7 of 9. We're done.
Are you out of the wild card now? Are you not going to make the wild card?
Just look dreadful. They're ruining my September.
Really?
Ruining.
You know what really looked dreadful? The orange uniforms the Bears were. They should never,
ever. I can take the orange jersey, but the orange helmet.
Oh, the helmet.
Is a no-no.
Terrible.
It's a no-no.
Absolutely dreadful. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Bengals and Chargers are winless. The NFC North goes 0-4, and Dion and Colorado stay unbeaten. But we begin today with the NFC East, where the three teams that played yesterday all won. The Cowboys beat the Jets 30-10. The Giants came back from 28-7 down in the third quarter, beat Arizona in Arizona. And Washington came back from 21-3 down in the second quarter, beat Denver in Denver. Wilbon, who had the most impressive win?
Well, Tony, it's not going to be the Cowboys. It's going to be either Washington or the New York Football Giants. And the Giants did something they'd done like twice ever. I think it was the second largest comeback win ever. And they had not done anything like this since 1949 when they beat the Cardinals. That would be the Chicago Cardinals then.
Yeah.
So I'm going with the Giants. I mean, and we keep going back and forth on the Giants and whether they have the critical elements. And it always starts with Daniel Jones, their quarterback, who had a great run for a touchdown late in that game when they were coming back. The Washington comeback, Tony, it was great too, don't get me wrong, and they need to be every bit as happy as the Giants. But for those of us watching from the outside, the Washington comeback was aided by the Zebras. And it just was. It was aided by the Zebras because on the two-point conversion, which would have sent the game into overtime, the officials just swallowed the whistle. It's a cowardly situation when they make pass interference calls the entire game and then bail on their obligation in overtime or late in the game. And don't swallow the whistle. You've been calling this the whole game. It's an obvious pass interference call. I expect the league office to apologize, you know, to Denver for them not making the call, but that doesn't help the situation. So I go in that tiebreaker circumstance for me with the New York Football Giants.
I'm going to differ a little bit on the wording here. I'm going to tell you that the most significant win was Dallas, because Dallas now beat the two New York City teams by a total of 70-10, and they are the champions of New York City. Dak Prescott looked good. Michael Parsons looked great. Absolutely
what a defense,
great.
And Dallas I can defense, see. Yeah.
We can see now that that is a playoff team. And I want to add this as an aside. To those people who went on television on a variety of networks and said, hey, don't worry about the Jets, because Zach Wilson, he's been tutored by Aaron Rodgers. He's more comfortable in his offense this year than last year. The Jets are going to be just fine. Really? How does 12 of 27 and 3 interceptions taste? All right? Because for the 53rd time, if he was any good, they wouldn't have got Aaron Rodgers. Where you and I disagree is not on the call. It was obvious PI in a two-point conversion. I think Washington, I mean, the Giants were a playoff team. The Giants saved their season with that, but they beat a bad team. Arizona's a bad team. They've already lost to Washington. I would say that Washington, to go on the road, to go in altitude, to go with a rookie quarterback, and beat a team that allegedly has a top-rate coach and a top-rate quarterback, I would say that that was the most surprising win. I'll tell you this other thing, Mike. I think it's possible that Sean Payton will rue the day that he signed on with this team. And he will rue the day that he said what he said and the way he said it about the former coach of the Denver Broncos, Hackett. And I think if they lose two more in a row, he's going to have to think about benching Russell Wilson, who is no longer an elite quarterback and looks sort of like he's done. But I'll move
well,
on
as
there.
I told Let's you stay yesterday. No, hold on. I'm not going to let you get away with that slander on Russell Wilson. Denver leads the entire NFL in points per possession, as they say. They lead it. The whole NFL in offense. No,
they got to win
this
at
right
home.
Now. Pay attention.
They got to win
the
at
defense
home
is
against
the
Washington.
Last. The defense is the most penalty. So blame the defense. Don't blame Russell Wilson, who leads
I
the league. Once again, Mike, leads
I think
the league
he is starting
in points
out
per series.
Where he ended up last year.
He's not.
I do.
The evidence says well, he's not. You're not paying attention. You got to get YouTube TV and get off the red zone and watch the actual football game. Huh?
YouTube
Stop
TV.
Being like
We're
going to
have a guy in a truck
just watching the
come
highlights.
To the house.
Come
in
on.
In the YouTube truck.
Come to my house.
They'll come in with presents and gear and soda. Let's stay Good. In the NFC. We're going to move to your division, Wilbon, the NFC North, right. that you insist on calling the NFC Central. The
Central.
Three teams that played yesterday, they all lost. Lions lost in overtime at home to Seattle. Packers lost in Atlanta after holding a 24-12 lead in the fourth quarter. And your Bears lost to Baker Mayfield, whom you hate, in Tampa Bay by 10. So which team had the most troubling loss?
I don't care about Baker Mayfield. What I care about is a quarterback on my team in the NFC Central, Justin Fields, who everybody in the metropolis thought was going to make a jump. And we were going to see it because they had two beatable teams out there we thought to start the season. At home against hated rival Green Bay and at Tampa, which is okay, but not a world beater. This ain't Tampa with Tom Brady. And Justin Fields has looked challenged. He can't find open receivers, Tony. And if you're living and watching in Chicago and not the highlights but the game, you know that there are receivers open streaking for the end zone and he can't see them. He can't find them. And this is troubling. And I know the offense is garbage so far, the design of it, because it calls for things like a center, a midfield screen down around your old goal line, which is just stupid play calling. And so the offense is stupidly designed, and Justin Fields doesn't seem to have any real awareness when he's on the field. He's holding the ball for 5 and 6 seconds, and this, they passed up on the number one pick because a lot of us believe, like they believe, management, Justin Fields is our guy, and he's still my guy for right now, but we're worried. We have every reason to worry. That's not the case in Minnesota. That's not the case in Green Bay. That's not the case in Detroit. It's only the case in Chicago. Worry yeah. over Fields. That's why that loss is the most important.
He threw two interceptions. One was a pick six. He took six sacks. Baker Mayfield, again, has one sack in two games.
Baker
and looks
Mayfield
like
is
a
of
real
no
leader.
Consequence. No context.
Well, I know, but you hate him, but he's had two good games,
yeah, but
and they're
2-0. He's not in the question.
They're
the question's about the NFC
I would
Central.
Not. It, well, they lost to this team, Tampa Bay. I would not worry or be too concerned about the Lions. The Lions showed character yesterday. They came back a number of times at one point.
Yeah.
31-21 with 8 minutes to go, right? And by the way, Geno Smith has completely turned his NFL career around.
Yes, he has.
Geno
yes.
Smith, since game one last year, has 33 touchdowns and 11 picks. That's pretty good, okay? I would be concerned, Mike, about Green Bay. I'm going to tell you why. Because Atlanta, even down in the fourth quarter, toyed with them. With 2:07 to go and a chance to kick a field goal and go up by 1 point, Arthur Smith said, let's run it. And he got
run
the
it.
First down. And then
let's
he went
the
next series. And
great
then,
running
and then he, right, that's right. And then he kicked the field goal at that
yeah.
point. Green Bay got the ball back with 57 seconds to go. And Jordan Love threw four straight incompletions.
Incompletions,
now, when
yeah.
when you say we got Favre, we got Rodgers, we got Love, that sounds great. But four straight incompletions at the end of the game is not that great. It's just not.
Yeah, but he'll probably be all right. We're in deep worry. Those orange uniforms were hideous, and the Bears were hideous in them. Again, two teams with high expectations entering the season, find themselves at 0-2. The Bengals lost to Baltimore, both of the AFC Central, by 3, and Joe Burrow was seen limping late in the game after aggravating the calf that kept him sidelined for most of training camp. The Chargers are also winless after falling in overtime to the Titans. Tony, which 0-2 team, the Bengals or the San Diego Chargers, should be more right. concerned? Bengals, Chargers.
So the easy and fairly obvious answer would be the Bengals because of Joe Burrow. I understand that they started 0-2 last year and then made the playoffs, but the quarterback didn't have a bad calf last
year. That's right.
Joe Burrow's been out there for two games, Mike. This is what he's done. He's thrown 72 passes and gained 304 yards. That's terrible. That's terrible. That's 4.2 yards per attempt, less than half of what he did a couple of years ago. So I can see where that's concerning. But honestly, I think the greater concern ought to be the Chargers, and here's why. They've put up points in two games, Mike. They put up 34 against Miami. They lost. They put up 24 on the road against Tennessee, and they lost 58 points in two games. You're not supposed to be 0-2. Their defense has given up 63. You talk about the Broncos' defense. Maybe that's worse, but 63 in two games stinks. And their head coach, who likes to go for it all the time, maybe he likes to go for it because he doesn't want his defense on the field because he knows it's bad.
Well, this year, I'm just going to remind you of a text message sent yesterday at about 3:42 Eastern time that said, and I quote from Anthony Kornheiser, is it possible Burrow is really this bad? So I'm surprised to hear your answer today, given what happened yesterday, which caused you to go crazy for a little while.
You can turn that around in 24 hours if you have a good night's sleep and you're not injured. Like, that's possible. The other team has worse problems.
Yeah, but he's injured, right? I mean, this calf thing, and it can lead to other stuff, Aaron Rodgers. So, you convinced me, and now you haven't even convinced you. You convinced me yesterday in real time that I need to pay more attention to Joe Burrow, and I'm nodding like a bobblehead, and you come in today and say, no, it's San Diego. I mean, the Chargers never play great defense. When have they played great defense? Like in the 1960s? It's been 50 or 60 years since the Chargers defense was any good.
You can't ask Justin Herbert to put up 35 a game.
You might have to.
Let's take a break. Coming up, the Chiefs and Bills get bounce back wins. Which one was bigger?
And how should Deion and Colorado feel after their narrow and dramatic overtime win against Colorado State?
Aren't you surprised that after Kansas City, the rest of the AFC West is 1-5? Weren't they supposed to be good?
Yeah, but why would anybody think the Raiders and Jimmy Garoppolo were going to be?
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Time to find out what's popping with the populace.
Mail time.
Get the first one here.
What's trending?
Bigger bounce back win. Bills or the Chiefs?
Tony, I think the Chiefs because they won in Jacksonville. I mean, they're down there in the heat, in the extreme heat. I noticed, the announcers talking about both those games in all the games in Florida yesterday about the heat and humidity. And I just thought the Chiefs going down there and playing the Jaguars team that people have big expectations of. The Bills beat the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders stink. They just do. I don't want to hear about the Raiders. The Bills ought to win that game. I realize the Chiefs are the champs. I'm sure they were favored, but not by much. And Jacksonville played well in the opening week. They fought hard yesterday. That defense just didn't let Patrick Mahomes run all over the place. So I'm going to say Kansas City.
Yeah, the answer to the question is Buffalo, because Josh Allen had the bigger bounce back game. He was terrible in the first
Raiders.
Game. He had four turnovers by himself. Yesterday, 31 of 37, 274 yards, two touchdowns, and a rating of 124.5. Here's the thing about Kansas City, Mike. That was a tight game the whole way. That was a one-score game. And yeah. I felt, and I remember saying this to you yesterday, there were a couple of times, two or three times, where I thought Trevor Lawrence had a touchdown pass and maybe the kid's foot was
one
out.
One foot.
And so it
one
was
foot,
taken back.
Three times.
Now,
yeah.
Kansas City understands everybody's going to give them their best shot. So they have learned how to win close games. And that's what that was. I thought the bigger bounce back was Buffalo, because people were actually worried about Buffalo. You're not worried about Kansas
City. But it's the Raiders. The Raiders stink. The Jacksonville Jaguars don't. You got to grade the opponent to a degree.
To a degree. Did Colorado's double overtime win over Colorado State increase or decrease your estimation of Deion's team?
You know, Tony, Colorado State played really hard. They did just cheap shot their way through the game. And I don't want to hear from anybody from Colorado State talking any junk. They played hard, they played well, and they cheap shotted every snap they could. But, Tony, it's not just the win or the margin of the victory or the double. It's the drama that Deion and that team have brought, his team have brought to the season. There's no great college football team. None. Not Georgia, not Alabama, not nobody. Colorado's the story. The entire story of college football is Colorado and Deion and Shadur. My God, yeah. That kid is a great quarterback. He's right there with Caleb Williams at the top of the Heisman Trophy heap. And all kudos to Colorado State and their coach, except they cheap-shotted their way through an entire game.
I'm so thankful that we got to Deion, because you can't do this show without Deion. I don't want to get carried away, because Colorado State was a 23-point underdog and they were winning
they
late
hard.
In the fourth
they
quarter.
Played hard.
So
they played hard.
That was not, that's not what we would call a hat and sunglass moment for Deion. But let me say this. That drive, 98 yards on that
great.
Drive. Shadur yes. is certainly a first-round draft pick, and you make reputations on those drives. Ask Tom Brady, ask John Elway in the same state. All right, that is a great drive at that point, so it sort of increases that, my estimation of them. I don't know what they're going to do in Oregon, but, Mike, I really Ooh. Hope that game is on a reasonable time so I can watch it.
3:30.
And
Deion, 3:30.
Deion's on every, if you want to interview Deion, if you're a high school kid, he'll talk to you. He was on 60 Minutes last night.
He's been on this
He's
show
everywhere.
Lately. Deion used
Enough
to join
email.
Us in the early years. Where's Deion
Why doesn't
lately?
He come on this show?
We'll get
Let's
Deion
get Deion.
Lately.
Let's get him. Right. Let's take one last break. Still to come, as Shohei Ohtani cleaned out his Angels locker for the last time.
They should be relegated to Angels. And the Rams rookie's putting up some big numbers. What time did I text you Saturday night at the end of that game?
2:41. I wasn't up. I got it the next morning at 6. 2:41.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 48th birthday yesterday, Jimmy Johnson. The race car Jimmy Johnson, not the football Jimmy Johnson. Johnson is one of the legendary NASCAR drivers, having won Daytona twice and the Cup Series seven times. In 2022, Johnson drove Indy cars in select races, including the Indianapolis 500. Some years back, Johnson took me for a spin around the track in Richmond, Virginia, a day before a NASCAR race. I could swear we were going about 130 miles an hour, and I could swear he was holding the steering wheel between his knees as he confidently and casually chatted with me. I was terrified and thrilled at the same time and grateful for the ride.
Tony, I was terrified once. It had to be 10 years ago, talking to Jimmy Johnson. It's here in Arizona, and it was like 45 minutes before the race, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. He's got his helmet in his hand. He's standing by his car, and he says, don't worry about it. We're good.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
And the calm that Jimmy Johnson has before doing something, I'm sure they all have it, doing something
amazing,
that's death-defying, and I'm terrified, and he's laughing at me. Jimmy Johnson, he just seems like the greatest guy.
Happy anniversary, Reggie Jackson. Around this day, 39 years ago, when Reggie was with the Angels, he hit a pitch from Bud Black at Kansas City for his 500th home run. Reggie became the 13th player ever to reach the 500 level, and he did it on the 17th anniversary of his first home run. Reggie wasn't a power hitter. He was a home run hitter. He was the straw that stirs the drink, as he said of himself. He is the one with three home runs in the same World Series game off three different pitchers. He's the one who got into a fist fight with his own manager. He's the one with the candy bar named after him. Reginald Martinez Jackson. Yeah, him.
Tony, I'm not sure that there is a star anywhere near as big as Reggie Jackson was, even by then, when he's with the California whatever Angels they were calling themselves then. By the way, I inherited two relationships I should thank you for. Guys that you palled around with back in your day when you had the big red afro. Phil Jackson and Reggie Jackson. So
Reggie Jackson.
Thank you for that. I got in the
I was
door
good with
because
the Jacksons,
of you with both
wasn't
of them.
I?
Yeah.
I was good with the Jackson. Not so much with Michael.
Michael and Jermaine and Tito.
Not so much with Michael. Happy trails, Shohei Ohtani. The presumptive American League MVP has shut down all baseball for the remainder of this season and has all but cleared out his locker in the Angels clubhouse. Ohtani stopped pitching in August because of a torn ulnar collateral ligament, but continued DHing. An MRI revealed lingering irritation in Ohtani's right oblique, so hitting is out now too. Ohtani plans to pitch and hit for the rest of his career, but the possibility of surgery would postpone a return to pitching for a while. Conversation now turns to where Ohtani will play next season. The Angels want him, but many people think Ohtani's next address will be in Los Angeles proper with the Dodgers.
Let me just concentrate for a second on the Angels. That franchise should be relegated. Somebody should move up and replace them. You got Trout, a guy who for 5 years was called the best player in the game. You got Ohtani, you got Rendon, who's a ghost. And you can't do anything ever? And people walk out on you? You consider trading them? My goodness, they're a disappointment.
One omission, Michigan State announced it has begun the process of firing head football coach Mel Tucker for cause, which was completely expected.
Yeah, we had that.
Very quick to the big finish.
Let's do
Rams it. Rookie receiver Puka Nacua set a record for most catches in his first two games of 25. You impressed?
Yeah, 15 of those yesterday in the loss to the Niners. Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson self-reported a concussion and left yesterday's win over the Texans in the first half. Your thoughts?
You're a great athlete. Don't run so much. The Aces eliminated your Sky. You impressed?
Come on, the Aces. I mean, Asia Wilson had 30. They're the best team. Maybe the Liberty, but they're the best team. Orioles, Rays, both clinched playoff berths. Significant?
Orioles haven't been there since, what, 2016? Last one, two Monday night games. Who you got?
I got a problem. It's 4 and 5 in the afternoon out here when these games start. I can't even see them. I don't care about the first game. Steelers over Browns in the second.
That's your problem. My problem was watching Colorado at 2 in the morning.
Ooh,
we're out of time. Find it better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now...